Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time before we get into the word. So good to see you all. So good to be with the family this morning. Thank you all for the love and the fellowship that's in this place. We thank God for it. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world, we need the light of your word like never before. Lord, lead us, guide us, direct us how to think, how to talk, how to act, when to speak, when not to speak, what to say, what not to say. Let your Holy Spirit guide us, Lord. Let your word lead us. You called us to be salt and to be light, Lord. There's no way we could do it without knowing your word. So we thank you for your word and we bless your word, Lord. May the word bless your people this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. And as it is Communion Sunday, normally I give the communion message and then I give another message, but this morning the Lord is just leading me to give the communion message as today's message. And then at the end of service, we will have communion. Amen? Amen. And then we will be out of here. Amen? Is that all right? Matthew 18, I'll be reading verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up until seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Amen. So what we have is a simple question, but Jesus gives a deep answer. As we say, Vinny, deep but not complicated. It's not complicated. It's deep, but it's not complicated. So he asks, and you think about who's asking the question, Peter. Peter is very impulsive. Peter did walk on water. Peter did tell Christ he would never deny him, and then he denied him three times. He also, when they came to arrest Jesus, he picked up his sword and cut off the guy's ear. Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on his head. So we have Peter asking the question, and Peter, maybe it's a little sarcasm in it. Maybe it's a little cynicism in it. How often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times. So I guess Peter would have kept score, like most of us would do. If he would have said seven times and left it there, that would have been interesting. Because then we would have our, you know, the husbands and the wives, we would have our chart on the kitchen refrigerator. And we'd get up to one and two, and when we got to seven, all heaven would break loose. Reminds me of the gentleman, older gentleman, watching TV with his wife and the dog is making all the noise. He's trying to watch the football game, and the dog makes some noise. He said, that's one. Then it's a touchdown, and they try to get something else going. Dog makes some more noise. He said, that's two. Then a commercial game comes back on. A dog makes some more noise. He said, that's three. Picks up the gun and shoots the dog. Then the wife said, what is wrong with you? What's wrong? You losing your mind? He told her, that's one. ladies, next time I'll tell the story, and it'll be the lady watching the soap opera. And okay, all right? But if we could, we would keep scoring. What would happen when we get to three? Without God, who knows? So here we have Peter asking, how often shall I forgive? And as we look at it, nine being the number of examination. So this month is how we should be examining our hearts and our minds. What have we done for 8 months with God and for God? To God and against God. Month of examination. And so here's the question. As we, in a few minutes, we're going to take communion and ask God to forgive us. And here we are, and Peter's saying, well, what about my brother? What about my neighbor? What about my spouse? What about my kids? Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. And trust me, okay, we've tried math in here before. We have tried math in here before. So it's not seven times, it's seven times 70, which is?
49.
Thank you, Tommy. How much?
49.
Yeah, you got to say a little more confident, Tommy. You're right on. That's right. You're right on. 490 times, and trust me, if you're sitting around counting 490 times on anybody, they don't have the problem. You have the problem. So Jesus said, no, no, no. But then he breaks it down. They asked a simple question, but Jesus gives a deep answer. Not complicated, but deep. I love how he breaks it down. Verse 23, he says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven. When you hear the kingdom of heaven, that talks about God's government. So now he's talking about the church. It refers to us, not necessarily the world. Because the world is going to do what the world is going to do. But he's saying, therefore is the kingdom of heaven, which means the church, God's people, God's government, is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. He would settle the accounts with his servants. Make a note in verse 23. You don't want your account settled by the King of Kings without a relationship to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, yes, that's the conversation you don't want to have. God is settling accounts and you don't have Jesus Christ representing you. Verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So it all depends on when you do the research, if you do the talents according to the Roman talents or the Jewish talents, it's somewhere between $1 million and $1.2 billion that he owes. Think about that. It's somewhere between $1 million and $1.2 billion that he owes. God is settling accounts. That's a lot. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Side note for men, every little thing counts. I can show you example after example in the Bible where a man or the men did a certain action and it affected the entire family. Man, you can't just tell your wife that doesn't matter what I do, doesn't matter where I go. This is my business. I'm doing me. It doesn't include you. It doesn't even concern you. That's not true. Because we see right here, because of what happened with the man, it was commanded that he was going to be sold and his wife and his kids. Men, make a note, every little thing counts. Especially those of you that are married, and single men, single women, make a note, every little thing counts. It affects everybody. You're not just doing you. It's not just my business. Because when it comes, it's going to affect everybody's business. Even in comparison to the church, you're a member of the church. You can't go live any kind of way. Whatever you do affects us. Whatever I do affects you. Whatever you do affects me. It all counts. Everything counts. And on Wednesday night, and let me put a plug in for Wednesday nights. We're going through the book of Exodus 26, 27, 28 this week. And God has given them the the blueprint for the tabernacle. And he's talking about the hooks and the brass and the gold and the curtains, what color, what size. Everything counts. That's what God's telling us on Wednesday night. Everything, the little things I do that nobody, everything counts. If God is concerned about the length of a curtain and what stitch it's being sewed with, he's concerned about what you're doing when you're not here. He's concerned about what you're doing when you're out there. Every little thing counts. So this gentleman's finding out the hard way. His whole family is going to be sold. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience. Somebody underline patience with me, and I will pay you all. Give someone some patience. It's huge. Give them some long suffering. Don't be so quick to react, to jump on them. Give them some patience. Cut them some slack. Verse 27, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And loosed him and forgave him his debt. Wow. As Jesus is telling the story, he's also talking about the debt that he's getting ready to forgive us for through dying on the cross for our sins. $1.2 billion debt, which we could never pay. This guy fell down and begged, and he loosed him. Said it's forgiven. Wow, that's powerful. That's what Christ has done for us. Forgiven our sin debt. And we think about it in the natural. If the bank called, well, how many of you live in a house? How many of you ever seen a house? All right. But notice I didn't say own a house, because when you die, trust me, it ain't coming with you. Don't even get it twisted. They not going to bring that. So we really don't own it. I even asked you how many own a car. No, you don't, because trust me, when we transition, that car ain't coming with you. Somebody going to have it. You ain't going to be concerned about it, but it's really not yours. So I'll just say, how many of us live in a house? All right? Because we really don't own anything. And when we realize we don't own anything, then we kind of focus on what's more important, which is the business of God. All the stuff we work for, we don't own it. We should be good stewards of it, but we definitely don't own it. And when we leave, somebody else is going to have it. That's why Solomon was depressed. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He was depressed because he had all that stuff and he turned his back on God and he can't take it with him. He said, when I leave, some fool might have my house. I worked as hard as I could for this and I'm going to leave and some fool's going to have it. What's the point of life? But imagine if Wells Fargo or Chase called and said, you know what, your house has been forgiven. Matter of fact, we're going to pay off your credit cards, your car loan, your student loans, and your house. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on now. Just imagine just like, but see, that's a two-edged sword, because if you're not being a good steward over it, then all you're going to do is just go back in debt because the mindset didn't shift. So they're really not doing you a favor. If they would say you need to pay it because you need to learn responsibility, then that might help you better than paying it all off, Sister Hazel. But just imagine, that would be a great day. It's like, all that, forgiven. First thing we would say is, praise the Lord. So here we go. Verse 27 again. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But it's always told you, watch out figuratively and literally. Watch out for the buts in your life. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's being transferred anywhere from $15 to $5,000. You just got forgiven $1.2 billion. This guy owes you $15. And you got a problem with that. Verse 28 again, but the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what thou owest. See, here's the problem here. When you don't understand how much God has forgiven you, then you have problems forgiving others. When you don't understand the sin debt that God has forgiven us, see, then I'll go and I'll be upset with my wife and my kids and my church members and my coworkers, and I'll hate people because I don't understand how much God has forgiven me. And that's always a problem. When you have the right understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for us, paid a debt that we could never pay. Oh, it's easy to forgive. It's easy. Oh, honey, don't even worry about that. It's going to be all right. God's got our back. Your kids do something, we're going to work on it. There's discipline, but nobody's really tripping. Because if you knew the sin debt that was paid in my life, you would understand where the compassion comes from. Family, your friends, you let it go because you understand, I don't want to be like this guy who's been forgiven for $1.2 billion and I'm tripping on $15. Hey, you remember that 15? You still owe me 15, right? Okay, we'll talk after service. You don't want to be like that. You put it in perspective, you have to forgive your wife and move on without tripping. You have to forgive your husband and move on without tripping. Your kids, your parents, your brother or your sister, that family member, that cousin. There are a few coworkers I'm still struggling with, but I'm working on that. There's a few I'm still like, I have to examine myself during communion. Have I really... Somebody say, keep it real. Amen. That's a few of them I'm struggling with, boy. But when I read a passage like this, I understand I got to let them go. It's only going to hurt you and I when we don't. You got to have an understanding. Highlight this, and when you get a chance this week, sometime during your quiet time, read this again and let God minister to your heart. You have to understand the sin debt that God has forgiven us. It's easy to have compassion after reading this and putting it all in perspective. Okay, let's finish the story. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's almost bizarre. Remember, Peter's asking this simple question about forgiveness, and Jesus breaks out this parable that's deep but not complicated. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. Now, just like sin makes you stupid, unforgiveness makes you stupid. You throw this guy into prison, how can he pay you when he's locked up? It makes no sense. Put him to work or something, but don't throw him into prison. As a matter of fact, he only owed you $15. And we know that those of us that have done prison ministry, well, actually, you do get paid. You get 15 cent an hour for working, which is amazing to me that when I was in the prisons in juvenile hall, I'm working with kids who want to go out and rob and steal, and then when they go to jail, they work for 15 cents an hour. Dude, McDonald's is paying $8.50. And they go to work because they don't want to stay in that cell all day and be bored, so you wouldn't work for $8.50, but you're going to work for 15 cents an hour. Oh, and by the way, if you have a degree, which some do, when I was working in Terminal Island, they had degrees, masters, and doctorates locked up. They make 23 cents an hour. So remember, we're trying to push our kids to college. We need to push our kids to Christ, because you can get those degrees and be as dumb as I don't know what and spiritually dead. Yes, they do have college degrees locked up for a long time. Degree is not the savior. Jesus Christ is. So here's this guy. He's in jail. He's going to try and pay it and do whatever he can. And verse 30. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. There you go. People are watching. People see what you're doing. They might not say anything, but they see it. And men and women, ladies, you don't have to fight with your husband. Tell the Lord on it. Some of the couples we got together Friday night, we went and saw War Room. Now, I tell you, boy, can't nobody do you like God can. I recommend that for everyone in here. If you're not doing anything today, go see War Room. Go see a solid Christian movie. It talks about the power of prayer. W-A-R, Room, R-O-O-M. Incredible Christian movie. Same ones who made Fireproof and Courageous. They came out with War Room. But verse 31, people are watching you and I. God is omnipresent. God is watching you and I. And some kind of way when this servant was forgiven, it didn't penetrate his heart. He didn't understand it. Maybe he's one who just comes to church but really doesn't understand what God has done. Otherwise, he would have acted differently. The forgiveness didn't penetrate his heart. That's why he was so quick to act like this against someone who had fell down and begged him. Just like he fell down. I guess you can play church. Oh. Well. Is the mic on? No? All right. I guess you can come and play church. Where you can pretend that I get it, but inside my heart, I really don't get it. Thank you, Brother Ivy. And then you can leave here and act like God has never done anything for you and treat people like God has never done anything for you. And treat your kids like you were never a kid and made mistakes. And treat your spouse as if you're perfect and holy and never made mistakes and don't have flaws. Because as marriage, we're two flawed people coming together, so, and we're male and female. That's already, if you just did the research on male and female differences. So you got to understand that. And that's why that compassion has to rule your heart. And you understand, God, thank you for forgiving me that $1.2 billion. It's easy to cut someone else some slack. So I went and told the Lord. verse 32. Then his Lord, after that, had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Lord, have mercy. We don't want to be don't leave here and be that wicked servant. We want to be that good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Make a note, that's Matthew 25 and 21, where Christ says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been ruler over little, I'll make you, you've been faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much. I forgave thee all, not some, but all, because you asked me to. Verse 33, shouldn't you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? Who is God speaking to this morning? I've forgiven you, but you can't let them go? Let me show you something. Turn to Romans 5. Let's go to Romans 5 and 1. so we can get the picture. And I guess the only reason why you would miss this, you and I would miss this, is because we think that we don't need God. And some people don't think they need God, and that's okay. That's why he said, the kingdom of heaven, he's talking to his people. So he's letting us know that we've all committed to Christ, so we all need him. 5:1, Romans 5:1, amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you understand he's paid that $1.2 billion debt, you have peace with God. We've been reconciled. God is not out to get us. He's paid that debt, and he's not asking us to pay it back, because we never could anyway. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then he breaks it down a little bit, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Underline that. Some people want to skip through that. You know, that's the ones who preach the prosperity message that, you know, that you should never be broke. You should never be sick. You should, which is a lie, because right here it says, and it's not according to scripture. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We take glory in the tough times also. Why? Because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Lord, have patience with me. Have patience. We talked about that. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. As you go through life with Christ, it gives you hope, because you see the track record of where you were and where you are now. And it's evidence that God has always been with you. So God got me through that. He's going to get me through this. Man, I have hope. I don't live as one without hope. Even in my toughest, darkest hours, I have hope, because God's got me through this before, or through something similar to this. God has always been with me, and we're going to get through this too. Amen. Have hope in your singleness. Have hope in your marriage. Have hope with your kids. Somebody say amen. Because those kids, boy, those kids are something else. Those kids are something else. Lord, help us. But we have hope because God did it for us. Yes. You remember when you were a kid? Yes. God did it for us, boy. It's a miracle. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have hope in God. He's going to do it for our kids. We're going to keep praying. We're not going to give up. We have hope. We're not going to lose hope. Oh, it gets better. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And hope maketh not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. Your kids are not your choices. They're not your choices. Don't be ashamed, because you have hope in Christ, not in the kids, but in Christ. Not of them going to college, but because of Christ. Not of them getting in trouble, but because of Christ. Never ashamed of my kids, because I have hope. God's going to work this out. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you don't have this highlighted, you need to have this highlighted and read it daily. And here's where I was trying to go. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we didn't care about God, he died for us. When we didn't even know we had a sin debt, when we didn't even care about a sin debt, when we didn't even know we owed $1.2 billion, we were going on a shopping spree, going deeper and deeper into debt. That's something. You owe so much and you're going on a shopping spree and don't even know it. And in that moment, Christ died for us, because he knew it would be a day like this when we want to get back to him, and the price was already paid. Verse 7, for scarcely, I say just barely, for a righteous man, somebody might die. For someone that we would perceive righteous or a good man, I might give my life for them. Yet even so, for a good man, some would even dare to die. And here's the kicker in verse 8. But God commended his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you might die for a good person, barely, maybe for someone who's really good. Yeah, you might. But God said, you didn't even care about me. You were deep in the sin, $1.2 billion in debt. And I died for you. Verse 9, much more than being now justified. They say the word justified, justification. All our sin, just as if it never happened. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's go back to Matthew. When you understand that, oh, it's easy to forgive. It's easy to forgive. And here's this other concept that the world has tried to bring into the church. Oh, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Oh, that's not biblical either. No, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. Oh, I'll never. You don't know what he's done to me. You don't know what she's done to me. Well, maybe you don't understand what God has done for you. When you understand what God has done for you, then it doesn't matter what they've done to you. Because you had $1.2 billion, they only owe you $15. You're looking at it through the wrong set of lenses. Maybe you need to change your glasses or take those shades off. You're just too cool. You can't see what God's done for you. You're looking at it through the wrong set of lenses. Looking at your kids through the wrong set of lenses. Your spouse through the wrong set of lenses. Your parents, your family, you're looking at them through the wrong set of glasses. Got to put them on the glasses of compassion, of long suffering, of patience. See it a lot more clearly then. God reminds you what he's done for you. Now, that's why you can forget it. Make a note of these scriptures. Micah 7:19 said he's cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Hebrews 10:17, he says he will remember our sins no more. So if God, if you were to ask God, what was the last sin I committed? He would say, I don't remember. God would say, I don't remember. He wouldn't go to the refrigerator and go, yeah, remember? And then you did that, and then you did that, and then you did that. That's what we would say. God wouldn't say that. But that's because we're looking at it through the wrong lenses. All right, let's get ready to wrap this up. Verse 33, shouldn't not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had had pity on you? His Lord was upset and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Notice, he didn't get cast into prison. He had to deal with the torment. And let me look at the comparison, because when you don't forgive someone, it torments you. You're the one that's tormented. You see them and you're all jacked up and you're all spiteful and hateful. And that's not hurting them. It's tormenting you. You and I, we call ourselves Christians, but we can't forgive others. And it's tormenting us. All right, then he brings it home. Brings it home in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Ooh, they asked a simple question and Jesus took them deep. But look at the key. What's the key word in this, in verse 35? Somebody help me out. What's the key word? Ooh, who said that? There you go, Sister Tara. Always comes back to the heart. It always comes back. See, I can do it. Lip service, say, Brother Tommy, I forgive you. But in my heart, I'm like, oh, man, let me catch him slipping. I'm going to get him. See, that's because I don't understand my sin debt. And that's, look what Jesus said. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts. It's not about the show. It's not about the outside. You got to have a transformation in your heart. And Sister Kathy said she forgot. And on the retreat, we were talking about not just information, but then revelation and then transformation. Your heart has to be transformed where I actually forgive you and I'm not tripping on it because I understand the $1.2 billion debt that's been forgiven for me. So I'm not going to trip on the $15 that you owe me. If you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. Peter and him didn't say nothing after that. It's like, wow. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, as we prepare our hearts for communion, let's just really examine it this morning. Come on up, brothers. Thank you. You, Brother Clarence, Brother Anthony. Thank you, Lord. And pass, yes, you can pass them out. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.